Don't believe me if I tell you, not a word of this is true. Don't believe me if I tell you, especially if I tell you I'm in love with you. Don't believe me if I tell you that I wrote this song.
If you're planning a cinema trip this weekend, can we recommend Phil Lynott, Songs for While I'm Away? It's a feature-length documentary on the iconic Dubliner and leader of Thin Lizzy. And it's a lovely, lovely, and that's a word you probably think you shouldn't use to describe a documentary about Phil Lynott, but it's a lovely, emotional documentary, and it was directed by Emer Reynolds, and Emer is in a booth somewhere in the building. Hello, Emer.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
I can hear you. You're coming in loudly and clearly. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I wouldn't have put you down as a fan of Phil Lynott when I knew you back in the day, but you are.
Yeah. I was introduced to Thin Lizzy when I was a teenager by my then boyfriend, and I had pretty eclectic tastes. So Thin Lizzy kind of arrived in out of nowhere and became a huge fan. And in fact, was at the very last Thin Lizzy gig in the RDS in 1983, their last gig in Dublin. Cried the whole way through it, so right. Yeah, big fan.
So you have your Thin Lizzy stripes, so to speak.
I do.
Yeah. So this must have been a labour of love then.
Well, it was a labour of love and a dream come true when I was approached to see would I be interested in coming on board when they were developing this documentary. I nearly bit Alan Marr's arm off. I thought it was so exciting, you know. A real dream come true to get to know Phil, I still say Phil in it. Sorry, I know I heard you say, I'm supposed to say it correctly.
No, some guy corrected me and I saw you corrected somebody else. I was watching an interview you did with somebody and you said it's Lynott, not Lynott. Yeah.
They say it's Philip Lynott. That's how he liked to be called. But I think Dubliners or Irish people grew up with Phil in it. Just, it's very hard to change.
Brilliant. I'm glad you said that because I'll be, you know, Phil in it's fine by me as well. So let's say that.
Excellent.
Okay. Now, this is a special documentary because music documentaries sometimes can be up their own behinds, Emer. You know, and they're for the music elite and they're trying to impress you with the amount of information they can, you know, impart about a particular person. But this is different.
Sure. And there's a role for them, and certainly the fans love that, you know, in-depth album by album deconstruction. That's not what we were interested in doing, you know. I wasn't that interested in rock doc as a genre. I was more interested in, you know, a personal poetic portrait of the man behind the music, you know, the man behind the image. And so that's what we were looking for. And also to make a film that was for fans and non-fans. So the fans would see all the stuff they know and hear all the music they like and hopefully see material and hear material that they had never seen before. But for a non-fan, really to introduce them through his whole story and his music and get to know the man, you know, the man behind the image.
And you do. And what I got from it was a number of things, and you can comment on these. I'll give you a list. First of all, the fact that he was shy. He was a shy man. And secondly, that his lyrics were actually quite brilliant. Like, you put him down as a rocker and the boys are back in town, yeah, go on. But actually, now that I listen to the lyrics after watching the documentary, he was very, very talented.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. It's, you know, you say you see him as a rocker. I certainly, as a young fan, saw the image, you know, the legs that went on forever and the massive afro and the twinkle and how incredibly charismatic and confident he was on stage.
And sexy, you can say that.
Sexy, yeah, absolutely. And then to realise how shy and private he was and in some ways crafted and created this kind of uber rocker macho persona as a kind of maybe as Adam Clayton says in the film, as armor, you know, in a way to defend his sensitive inner side. And yes, the lyrics, that's an underknown and underappreciated part of the story, I think, too, how hardworking he was, how creative, what an incredible writer, you know, the range and breadth of the lyrics and the songs.
And the storytelling, let's just play a bit of this.
When I passed you in the doorway, well, you took me with a glance. I should have took that last bus home, but I asked you for a dance. Now we go steady to the pictures. I always get chocolate stains on my pants. And my father, he's going crazy. He says I'm living in a trance.
Come on, Avery, here we go.
Dancing in the moonlight.
Dancing in the moonlight. You see, that description, and I used to always quote it back, you know, got chocolate stains on my pants, because I always did. And, you know, what an observation.
Well, it typifies, it absolutely encapsulates exactly what it was like, I think, to be a teenager walking home, you know, when you've had maybe, a dance or a moment with somebody at a disco and you're walking home and missed the bus. You know, he absolutely wasn't afraid to write in his own vernacular, in his own experience, yeah. You know, what we knew at that age.
And there's what's lovely about the documentary as well, you have some big hitters there. The guy from Metallica,
yeah.
Huey Lewis, Adam Clayton, Brush Shields. Like Brush is brilliant because he didn't quite throw him out of Skid Row, but he sent him on his way to learn the bass. And that was a big moment, wasn't it?
It's a fantastic part of the story. You know, Brush obviously a very dear friend, very close friend of Phil's, and tells the story of, you know, that when Phil was lead singer with Brush's band Skid Row, it wasn't quite working, and, you know, Phil's voice wasn't up to scratch perhaps. And they, you know, they parted company, but as a parting gift, Brush told him, you need to play an instrument, you know. And the very next day, Phil was up at his house in, Phil was crumbling and Brush is Cabra. And he went over, Brush said Phil arrived on the bus and they started learning how to play the bass. So he gave him this incredible gift. And of course, Phil's bass playing and his, you know, and that image of him with the huge bass is a huge part of his iconography.
Yeah, he was an outsider because he lived in Ireland at a time when Ireland was nearly 99.99% white.
Yeah, it's an incredible part of his story how he forged, you know, his path out of such humble beginnings. You know, like from a working class area of Dublin in the 50s where. They talk about him as being the only black kid in the country or the only black child in the school. I mean, he probably wasn't, but I'm sure he felt like that. It was a very monochromatic culture at that yes. stage. And to have, you know, to have dreamed his way out of that and to have ended up on the steps of the Sydney Opera House in front of 100,000 screaming fans, you know, it's an incredible story. It's an incredible journey of what you can do with your dreams.
You have some lovely, is it 16 mil or 8 mil footage yeah. of him back around Crumlin in his teenage years?
Yeah, it's beautiful. All that stuff is, it's very evocative, isn't it, of a moment. And it reminds you of how, where he started and where he ended up.
Mm. We got a photograph in from a man, I don't know where I put it, his name is Michael Mangan, I think his name was, he took a photograph of him back in the day, so maybe you've probably gone through everything, have you? I'd say you've watched hours and hours and hours of footage.
Certainly, and I had an incredible team of researchers who pored over every, every clip, every photograph and tried to find, you know, stuff we'd never seen before and succeeded.
You're sort of struck by the number of hits they had and the range because, he could blast them out, obviously, and rock them out. And he was a rock and roller and all that. But then this is one of my favourites and it's from Live and Dangerous. And we'll talk about it after we play a clip.
I'm still in love with you. You know, some people out there are saying its way of healing, it can dry all the tears from your eyes. Oh, but darling, they don't tell you about this empty feeling. You know I can disguise it.
They're all singing along at home now.
That's one of my favourite songs. I mean, didn't he have it all? When you look at when you hear that and you see the lyrics, the quality of the lyrics, the beautiful melody, the sound, the performance and the voice, like what a voice, the velvet.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And this is the thing, and a lot of people talk a lot now about vulnerability. He wasn't, and although he had that rock image and the leather trousers as you describe it and that overtly sexual image, he sexy image, I should say, he wasn't afraid to be vulnerable.
And all of the albums will show you that. If you go back through all the albums, you'll find these big heavy metal, heavy rock songs. You know, they're loud and noisy and sexy and confident. And then you'll find beautiful songs like Still in Love with You that are delicate and show an inner life that isn't so easy to see.
And there's lots of love in the documentary, not from not just from the people we mentioned, but also from his two daughters, Kathleen and Sarah. And their mother, Caroline.
Yeah, we were honoured to have them agree to be in the film. This is the first time Kathleen and Sarah have spoken about their dad. So thrilling, you know, to hear such intimate stories of a family man and a family life, and to get a little glimpse into that private person.
Mm. And again, there's footage of them out in Howth, I presume.
Yeah, in the garden, just running around as little children.
Yeah, I think you have a favourite. Do you? Do you have a favourite Lizzie song?
I do. Running Back is and always has been my favourite Lizzie song from Jailbreak, and it has a pride of place in the film.
Where does it feature?
It's kind of the penultimate song. It's the climax of the film towards the end.
I watched it last night on the telly at home, but I'd say it'll benefit greatly from being watched in the cinema. And it's in cinemas as in from this Friday. Phil Lynott, Songs for While I'm Away, directed lovingly by Emer Reynolds. And thanks for taking time to come into us today. And we've about 37 seconds of Running Back. Thanks, Emer.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you so much.
Mind yourself. See you. Bye.
I'm a fool now that it's over. Money singing songs about you, it's my claim to fame. When they say it's over, it's not all over, there's still the pain. And I'd come running back to you again. Oh, I'd come running back to you again.
Great, Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy and Running Back. That's it from us. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Cormac and Sarah on the way. Whatever you're doing, do it safely. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.